Good evening, everyone. My name is Nick, and this talk is a talk about singleness. And when we were deciding who was going to be preaching each talk, as I'm single, I draw that straw and get to talk to you about singleness. But actually, preparing it, I've actually come to really love this talk. I've actually learned so much, and I just want to share some things that God has been putting on my heart about singleness. I heard of this black preacher, and he was going to New York. He was asked to come and speak at a church in New York, and he arrived, and the congregation was mostly white, and he's from a Pentecostal church. And if you've ever been to a Pentecostal church, me and Jason, we went to one in North Africa. They're incredibly lively. Okay, people shout out amen and hallelujah and God is good and all that sort of stuff. David, wherever he is, he would know what I'm going on about with Kenya. Well, so he knew that he would have to work really hard to get this crowd sort of lively. So he started out, he said, "Tonight I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer." And one or two people in a very large congregation said, "Amen, hallelujah, yes." And he was like, "Okay, tonight I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the answer." And a few more people said amen. And then he went for a third turn. "Tonight I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the answer." And people got up on their pews and were like, "Amen, hallelujah, woo!" And he was like, "Yes, they're getting it." And then he said for the fourth time, "Tonight I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the answer." But before anyone could say a thing, he said, "But what are the questions? But what are the questions?" You know, I could quite easily say that the answer to being single, the answer to enjoying it, is Jesus. But what are the questions? What are the questions? What are the questions I had? What are the questions you have? You know, am I less than whole by being single? Less than human by being single? Does my life start when I'm married? You know, is everything leading up, you know, is everything all about marriage? And my life starts, enjoyment starts when I'm married. Is marriage the answer to my needs? Is marriage the answer to that loneliness, that sense of wanting intimacy? Is marriage the answer to that? Can I get intimacy outside of marriage? These are the sort of questions I think we have. Maybe you have your own question about singleness. And to answer these questions, we're going to watch a couple of videos tonight. That I found on the internet. Internet's incredibly helpful for finding really good resources for Christian questions like that. You know, how do you cope when you're single? What does it look like to be single and follow Jesus? So we're going to watch a couple of videos, and I'm going to sort of bookend the videos by just talking about marriage, which sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Talking about marriage when I'm talking about singleness. But we're going to look at the marriage of Christ and the church, because I think that's going to help us understand singleness as well. So the headline really is that singleness gifts you the opportunity to focus on that marriage of Christ and the church. So last weekend I was up in Birmingham for a weekend, and I was up at a Young Life camp. Well, it was a leaders weekend away to talk about camp and everything. There's about 350 of us. Some of them were from Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England, and there was loads of us. And these people are reaching Jesus, are reaching young people for Jesus. Some of them are my age, some of them are a bit older, some of them have been doing it a lot longer than I have. And we were there, and this guy called Marty, he was leading the sessions. And on Sunday morning, he got up for his final talk, and there's 350 of us sitting there. And he said, "I'm going to do something quite strange. But last night I was praying and I felt I needed to do this." And he said, "I think there's some people here who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus tonight, to this morning." And I'm sitting there in my seat thinking, these are guys going out trying to reach young people for Christ. And he's thinking, there's some people here who don't know Jesus. And you see, he led them in this short prayer, and I don't know how many. He didn't want to sort of name them and shame them, but quite a few people gave their lives to Jesus that morning. Because so often we can be around church, we can be around church, but not know Jesus. And there are some there who've been doing Young Life for a long time, but they don't know Jesus. And I was struck by that. But you see, before we look at singleness, we've got to realize that there's this God-shaped hole in all of our hearts that can only be filled by Jesus. If we're going to talk about relationships, we need to realize that we're made to have a relationship with Jesus. And so often we want to go out and win that person's heart. You know, you go into a room. I used to do this when I was a bit younger. And you start trying to spot out who you can possibly marry and who you probably couldn't marry just by appearance. But you do that. I don't know if girls do that, but boys do that. You rule them out quickly and then you say, this one's okay. But you see, unless our heart is won by Christ, we can't win anyone else's heart. We've got to start with our relationship with Jesus. And so there's this fascinating passage in one of the Gospels. It's a story about Jesus, and he's in a house. And it's found in Matthew chapter 12, 48, 49. And he's in this house, and loads of people are with him. Imagine this place full of people. And his mum comes and his brothers come, his siblings, and they're trying to get in, but they can't get in. And so they send a messenger in. They said, you know, they sort of say, hey, can you just get hold of Jesus? He's up the front teaching. And this is what happens. He says this, and when his own mother and brothers asked to see him, Jesus said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Do you hear that? His mother and his brothers want to get in. They can't get in. Jesus says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? This is Jesus, the Son of God, saying, who are they? Who are they? Who are my... He's asking that question. I'm not encouraging you young people to go home tonight and when your mum or your dad asks you to do your homework and you say, well, who are you? And they say, well, I'm your mum. You know, I have a right to tell you to do your homework. And you go, well, who is my mum and who is my brothers? You know, that's not what Jesus is teaching us here. Okay? He's not being disobedient, but he's trying to say something because he says this. He said, well, he does something. He stretches out his hand towards the disciples, towards those in that room. And he says, here's my mother. Here's my brother. These are my sisters. You see, Jesus is turning everything around right in front of everyone. Of course he loved his mum. Of course he loved his brothers. He was the best brother to them. And he was the best son to his mum. But you see, he came into the world not to focus on temporary relationships, but to focus on a relationship of the eternal kind. He came into the world to call out a people from every nation to become one family. So whether you're single, whether you're married, you become part of this one family, and it's called the church, and Jesus calls you his brother. You're his sister. And you see, this is the remarkable thing about marriage. The gift of marriage is that it's temporary. And it finally gives way to the relationship that it was always pointing to. Christ and the church. That is the marriage that marriage points to. Whenever I go to weddings and I see a couple getting married, I always think of that. Wow, there's going to be a day when I get to go to my own wedding, and it's going to be with Jesus, and it's going to be awesome because so many people are going to be there and we're going to meet with Jesus. The church is known as his bride. And so I don't want to make it complicated, but I'm actually going to just, there may be some people here tonight who don't have that relationship with Jesus. And so before I continue this talk and before we look at the two videos, I just want to give this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, and that song before, what an amazing song that is. I just want to give you the opportunity to commit to having a relationship with Jesus. So I'm just going to pray, and I just encourage you just all just to bow your heads and If you want to start a relationship with Jesus, then you can just pray this in your own heart. Jesus, we don't need to be convinced by sound arguments or that we need a relationship with you. It's just so apparent. And Lord, I just want to pray right now. You can just pray this with me. Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. Lord, forgive me for where I've rejected that in the past or where I haven't been aware of that in my own life, that I need a relationship with you. And Jesus, I want to say yes to you tonight. Lord, I want you to come into my life. And I want to follow you. Jesus, I welcome you in my life. Just with every head bowed, I just want to say right now, if you've prayed that, you're in. You're now his brother. You're now his sister. And it's amazing. Amen. If that was you, do come and talk to me at the end. If there's someone here who prayed that for the first time, it'd be great to just to get a couple of minutes with you and pray with you. But let's carry on with the talk. So, who's been to Soul Survivor? Put your hands up if you've been to Soul Survivor. Okay, quite a few. Who's going to Soul Survivor? A few more. Brilliant. Joel, you've gone and you're going, and yeah, he's committed. It's an amazing festival. It's led by two guys called Mike and Andy, Mike Pilavarci and Andy Croft, and they lead Soul Survivor, and we're going to watch a video, and they're chatting together about this whole area of singleness. Mike has been single all his life, and so Andy's just asking him some questions, and I thought what a great opportunity for us to hear from someone who's a little bit older than me, and has been a single a lot longer than me, and he will give some really good advice. But he uses his word celibacy, and I just wanted to just define what celibacy is, just in case you don't know. But he has just made a decision that he's going to abstain from any sexual relationship. And as he says, that could be for a season or it could be for a lifetime. But it's just saying that I'm not going to have sex until I'm married. And that's what celibacy is. So I just define that to help people because he uses it quite a lot. So let's get this video on, and I'm going to sit down whilst we watch it. It's about 7 minutes. Are we good to go? Yeah, brilliant.
Today we're going to be talking about singleness and celibacy, and I'm going to ask my friend Mike here a few questions. And the first one is, Mike, we live in a world and a culture now where everything can revolve around sex, really, from the music that we listen to the adverts that we watch, to the films that we see. You're 56 and single and celibate. Do you want to just share some of your reflections and some of the things that you see in the Bible about singleness and celibacy?
I think, first of all, we need to affirm and acknowledge again that sex is a gift from God. You know, the first commandment that God gave the human race to Adam and Eve was go forth and multiply. That means have sex. It involves having sex. And yet, as you said, in our culture, we've turned a gift into a God. And when that happens, the gift, which is meant to free us and meant to be for us to enjoy, actually ends up bizarrely enslaving us. Loads of people in our culture believe that unless you're sleeping with someone, unless you're having sex, you are less than a whole human being. You're less than a complete human being. And we need as Christians to nail that as a lie. It's not true. And the first person we point to say it's not true is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God came to earth, he became a full human being, and he was fully alive in his humanity, and he lived life to the full, and he never had sex. Then there's Paul, through whom half the New Testament was written. He lived a life of singleness and celibacy, and no one can suggest he lived a second-rate life. And I'm not going to say that I'm anything like Jesus or Paul, but I know that's true in my life. I'm 56 years old, and I've never bonked anything, animal, vegetable, or mineral, and I'm okay.
Do you think that there's a sense in which sex has started to equal relationship? And how is it possible, I suppose, for people to have intimacy without having sex?
I think sex in our culture does equal relationship, and people are saying any relationship that's worth having has to be sexual or involve sex. And the truth is, it's possible to have wonderful relationships, wonderful friendships of intimacy, of love, of depth, of sacrifice, of commitment, without it having to be sexual. I believe that God gives two gifts to his people when it comes to relationships. The first is the gift of marriage, and it's a gift. And the second is the gift of celibacy. And we need to do what the ancients did. We need to embrace both as gifts. For some, there's a gift of celibacy to embrace until you receive the gift of marriage. For some, like me, it looks like now, it may be that you embrace the gift of celibacy for the whole of your life.
Mike, what mistakes have you made as someone who is single and celibate?
I think actually there's two mistakes that single people often make. The first one is we can make a god out of marriage. And we can say, oh, when I'm married, then everything will be all right. I'll be happy. I won't be insecure anymore. I won't have longings anymore that can't be fulfilled. I won't be lonely anymore. And you know what? That's a lie. That's a lie. If you wait until you're married to have your life sorted, you're going to be very disappointed. Most of my friends are married, and I know it's flipping hard work. Is it worth it for those that are married? Absolutely. But it changes you in a unique way. But it's not the answer. If we look at marriage as an answer to our consumer needs, if we look at marriage as a means of fulfilling myself, we're missing the point of marriage. It's about giving to someone else. But the second mistake we can make, which is the one that I fell into, is you can actually end up not despising marriage, but glorying your freedom as a single person. And I went through a phase where I would think to myself, oh, it's so great. I don't have to be like my married friends who have to be in at a certain time to have dinner at a certain time. And I suddenly thought, oh my word, I've turned the gift of celibacy into an excuse for living selfishly. And I had to repent from that. And I had to decide, wait a minute, my life, just as much as a married person's life, is meant to be lived for the sake of others.
So some of us who may be watching this might be, I don't know, 14 or something, and they might think, yeah, I want to get married one day, but that's going to be a long time away. What advice would you give us in the meantime? What's the thing you would tell us or encourage us with?
You know, the best gift you can give your marriage is to embrace the gift of celibacy until marriage. And the lie is that we're like the animals, and that as soon as we're on heat, as soon as we come into season, we've got no choice. We're denying who we are if we're not sleeping with someone. That's so not true. God spoke the animals into existence in Genesis. He breathed his life into us. We have bodies like the animals, and that's why we celebrate the earthy gifts that God gives us, including sex. But we're also spirits, and that means we've been given the capacity to make choices and to say yes and to say no.
So, Mike, last question. In this series, we've been talking and trying to say that it's marriage is a gift, and also singleness and celibacy are a gift, and one is not better than the other. What would you say to the whole church, whether we are married or we're single, on this subject of celibacy?
This issue, this question, has been the most difficult question for Christians in the last few years. And yet, I think this is our opportunity to be prophetic to the culture around us and to speak first about something that our culture is killing us by telling us two lies. One, our culture has not really affirmed marriage as it should, and we've kind of said marriage isn't so important. But also, it's told us implicitly that people who aren't having sex are somehow second-class Christians. And we need to honour both marriage and celibacy outside of marriage. In the New Testament times, and in fact throughout the Bible, in the culture around, people who were single were despised. And it's in that context that the Son of God came to earth and lived a single celibate life. It's in that context that Paul says to the Corinthians, you know what, if you want to get married, great. If you want to be single and celibate, great. live both to the glory of God, because both marriage and singleness in celibacy are part of a wider concept, which is the church. And the church is the extended family of God. And we get it right when in the church we really act like a family, where we love and cherish each other, where we honour marriage, where we include those who are single and celibate, and where we affirm all in the best way that we can, and where everyone feels they belong. That's where both marriage and singleness in celibacy work.
Amen. Awesome. When I watched that, I was so encouraged and just writing loads of notes and everything. But a couple of quick pointers. What Mike was saying, and that is, God gives us two gifts. The gift of marriage and the gift of singleness. And they're both gifts. They're both gifts. And so the question really for us is, are we embracing it? If you're single tonight, are you embracing the gift of singleness? Are you receiving it like a gift? And if you're married, are you embracing that gift of marriage? That it's a gift to you from God. And the other question is not only are we embracing it, but are we talking about it? You know, we as the church, as the family of God, have something to say about marriage and singleness that is so positive, so affirming, so loving, so liberating, so freeing, that there's people who need to hear it, your friends at school, your work colleagues. If someone said to me at high school that, Nick, you don't have to worry, you know, you don't have to chase after people to try and sleep with them, but actually you can be content, happy, and be a human and not have to have sex, that would have freed me up. That would have taken a massive burden off me. And so if you're at school, you get to talk about something that is good. And that's why I just thought it was really helpful to watch that video, because it's incredibly affirming of two amazing gifts. And so finally, I'm just going to come into land really and look at really the church as Jesus's bride. There's a couple of passages that I'm going to read out. One of them is from Paul. He's writing to the Ephesian church. And the other one is in Revelation. And we've been going through Revelation in the morning, and it's at the end of Revelation. Probably my two favorite verses in the whole Bible. I know you shouldn't have favorites, but I keep coming back to these. So Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives. So if you're a husband tonight, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church. So if you want to know how to love your wife, this is how you love it. You love it how Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He made her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, holy and blameless. Guys, Christ loves his church. And he's done everything. He died on a cross so that we can come to him clean and washed as a people. And this is what it's going to look like at the end of time. This is why I love Revelation. It says this, I saw heaven and earth, new created, a new heaven, a new earth. Gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone any division. And I saw the holy Jerusalem, the new created, descending, resembling, coming out of heaven, ready for God. As a bride. What John is seeing is this wonderful picture of the church as a bride, and Jesus is meeting the bride. What a wonderful, I mean, you want to be there. We always talk about, you know, what cool weddings we've been to. That is the wedding you want to be at. That is the wedding every wedding is pointing to and should be pointing to. You see, some of us, this season of singleness may be temporary. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get married. I don't know. Some of us, we may get married. You know, some of us, this season of singleness may last a lifetime, just like it probably is for Mike. Be a bit of a shock if he does get married, but he may get married, you never know. And, you know, in life, we go through different seasons, but one thing that remains, one thing that always remains true and will become a reality is this marriage between Christ and the church. You know, that's the thing that will remain. That's the thing that is eternal. And you see, marriage gifts you the opportunity to reflect that. And singleness gifts you the opportunity to focus on your relationship with Christ and focus on serving and honoring the church. You can do that in marriage, you have less time to do it, but when you're single, you can give a lot more time to it. And we're going to hear about that now through one final video. This guy, the reason why I want to pick this video is because he's been through both seasons. Seasons of singleness and now a season of marriage. And he gives some really good advice for those who are single. And I thought we'd watch it. It's a little bit shorter. It's only 3 minutes. So are we good to go? Brilliant.
I feel like it's always a little dangerous as a married man talking about singleness, because I think single people go, thanks for your time. You know, like you already got there or something. But I will say this. I got married a little later and I wanted to be married, but I loved my singleness. And that's not taking anything away from my wife. That's to say, I embrace God gives us different seasons. And in 1 Corinthians 7, God is pretty clear about it through Paul, that God will give you the gift of a season of singleness. And he says it to secure an undistracted devotion to the Lord, that it's a gift he's given you, that you can be minimal distractions in your way. And it's to secure a devotion to the Lord. And so that's what I would encourage people who are single. Would that describe your single experience? Is your single experience a devotion to the Lord, that you're taking all that free time you have and free space? I mean, it's fascinating. I remember watching my friends have kids, and just to go to the store down the street is this massive endeavor of loading up the minivan, and to go on a vacation is just, I mean, you move heaven and earth to mobilize these munchkins. And even getting married, when you initially get married, I tell young men, man, 1 + 1 = 4. Financially. I mean, all your costs are going to go up, and you're not going to take your wife and sleep on a buddy's couch to travel Europe. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, you're going to suddenly have higher bills and greater challenges. Even if you have a low maintenance wife or low maintenance husband, there's just added details and responsibilities with marriage and children that you don't have when you're single. I remember right after I got married, when the tsunami hit overseas, I had a single friend that jumped on a plane and went. And just served. And there was a part of me that was like, oh man, like I couldn't do that. Like I didn't have the finances together, couldn't leave my wife at that point. And you go, man, singleness afforded him that opportunity to just hop on a plane and go. And so I would encourage you, if you long to be married, tell that to the Lord. He cares. He's not cold-hearted about it. But don't use your whole single experience to pine away about marriage. See it for what it is. Ordained by God to secure an undistracted devotion to the Lord. And so take that time and dive deep into His Word. I fell in love with God in those single years. Got rid of my TV and would just sit at my house and dive deep into His Word. And I fell in love with Him there. So much of what He taught me, I got to minister to so many people in my single years. I'm so deeply grateful for that season. And then He did bring the right woman. We've loved our married life together. I celebrate it, but I get to love every chapter, and I want you to do that. Don't miss this chapter by pining for the next one. Trust that God is guiding your future, and enjoy every moment of the gift of singleness.
Amen. See, his experience of singleness and marriage is not just unique to him, actually. It's often a lot of people experience it like that. And I'm just going to share a few of my experiences, and then we're going to lead into a time of ministry and of continual worship of God. His emphasis on spending time in God's Word. Let me tell you, that is, if you could take one thing home tonight, whether you're married or whether you're single, is this very bit of scripture. Jesus, in John's gospel, there's people around him, they've responded to the gospel, maybe like you tonight, or maybe you've responded, you've prayed that prayer at Youth Thursdays, or at Soul Survivor, or here at Encounter. Says this, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said this. If you could just take one bit home tonight. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We all want to be free. And to be free, you need to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And to know the truth, you need to be a disciple of Jesus. And you need to be spending time in this, his word. And singleness really gifts you that opportunity to spend time in his word. And you see what Mike Pilavarci was saying, what the world says. You see, if we spend so much time watching TV, watching films, listening to what the world says about singleness, listening to what the world says about marriage, if that is what's consuming us, then we won't be free. Rather, we'd be enslaved. You know, I was watching Take Me Out last night, and watch it every now and then. But actually, do you know what? I wanted to cry. I was so sad by what was going on. As a follower of Jesus, I need to be critical. We need to be critical of what we see. You know, there's always that wild card, someone who you all know they're not going to get picked. You know, they're going to get, you know, there's these all these girls, and a guy comes down, and, you know, and they get to decide whether they want to go out with him. And there's always like a wild card, someone who, by appearance, they're not going to go out with. And I was just so sad, because of course everyone's going to say no, because he doesn't have those looks like the rest of the guys who came down the elevator. But do you know what? He could have been the nicest man in the world. He could have been a man who would honor that woman and help her and bring the best out of her. But they don't give him a chance because it's all about appearance. So if you just watch Take Me Out, if you just watch films about love, that's all we're going to know. We're going to constantly worry about how we look. But when you spend time with God in his word, it will set you free. And it will help you see what is good in the world and what is not good in the world. Just spend time in his word. It sets you free. And singleness gifts you that opportunity to do that for longer periods of time. And finally, friendship. You know, one of the things I've learned is that being part of the church gives you the most amazing opportunities to hang out with people you would never hang out with. And because you're part of this family, when Jesus says, you are my brothers, it's not, you know, pie, you know, it's not sort of, you know, he's not trying to, you know, it's not, he's really meaning it. You are my brother. We are brothers. And that's the same, you know, me and Jason, he's now my brother. I'm sorry, Jason. You've got no choice. Jesus decided. But we're brothers. And you see, when you follow Jesus, you meet people. And 2 weeks ago, I sat with two people. One of them was a deputy sheriff. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool sitting next to the deputy sheriff. You know, all those films that I saw, you know, from America. I'm sitting next to a deputy sheriff. That's so cool. And I was sitting next to another guy who was quite high up in the church. And we were sitting there around this big table. And the guy speaking the front, like I'm doing, said, right, you're going to go in times of prayer with those around you. You're just going to pray for each other. I'd never met these guys before. But let me tell you, it was one of the wonderful times I've ever had in my life. The guy, the deputy sheriff, just opened up about his life, the struggles he's had. And I was able to pray for him. God spoke into his life through me. Got to pray with the other guy. And we were praying for like 40 minutes and time flew by. And I left there knowing that I'm probably not going to see them in this life. But I can't wait until I see them at that marriage. And I get to talk to them about how God answered those prayers. And it was like we've always known each other when we were praying. It's wonderful. Being part of a church is a truly incredible experience. And you get it because of what Jesus has done. And finally, I want to end with it's a strange place to end on a talk on singleness. But it's the Great Commission. It's what Jesus says to his disciples at the end. And I'm just going to read it. It's found in Matthew at the end. And if the band could come up, if that's okay. And I'm going to read this out. And this is what Jesus said to the final thing he said to his disciples. This is what I think we need to hear tonight. He said this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Let me tell you, there's times when I doubt. But Jesus doesn't say one thing to those who doubt and another to those who believe. He says this to those who doubt and to those who believe. He says this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." You see, the reason why I want to end with this is that whether you remain single or whether you get married or whether you are married, Jesus calls us to be fathers and mothers of the eternal kind. He calls us to go tell our friends about Jesus, to teach them, to disciple them. Whether they stay single, whether they get married, we're called to be fathers and mothers of the eternal kind. It's the most wonderful gift he gives to his church. Though you may remain single for the rest of your life, you get to be a mother or a father to someone. And that lasts for eternity. And so this next song talks about that wanting to go out into the world, that wanting to tell people about Jesus. And I think this could be our prayer tonight. So maybe if we just remain seated, and maybe if we put our hands out in front of us, we could just close our eyes, and some of you may know these words off by heart to this song, and we can sing them with Katie. But may this be our prayer, that we will be those who fulfill, live out that commission as either single or married people, knowing that we've got a marriage that is coming, that we get to enjoy and last forever with Jesus. But let's use our singleness or our marriage to tell people about Jesus, to start those eternal relationships with people from all around the world.